This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Terry. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack unveiled the department's fiscal 2015 budget request to Congress. Vilsack says the budget calls for $22 billion in discretionary spending, reflects a sharp drop in funding from 2008, where the administration first took office.
This budget will be somewhere between $400 and $500 million less on the discretionary side than when I became secretary.
But Vilsack tried to put a positive face on the budget request.
First of all, it continues to invest in the Farm Bill safety net and the credit requirements that are important to beginning farmers and socially disadvantaged farmers. This budget will help to fund 40,000 loans, 85% of which will go to beginning farmers and socially disadvantaged farmers.
Specifically, Vilsack says the request will implement the recently enacted Farm Bill.
It obviously provides a continued commitment to crop insurance coverage of what will be estimated at $63 billion worth of crops, and it will assist and aid in the implementation of the Farm Bill safety net provisions, whether it's the revenue or price loss processes.
The budget would also support 25 million acres of land in the Conservation Reserve Program and add 23 million acres to already record acres in the CSP and EQIP programs. The request also includes funding for rural business development, especially bioproduct manufacturing, farmers markets, food safety, climate change research, rural home loans, and community facilities. DuPont Pioneer has been involved with a humanitarian effort in Africa to develop more nutritional sorghum in the country. DuPont Crop Protection Marketing Manager Wayne Schumacher describes a certain trait that they are utilizing to create more nutritional sorghum.
One of the biggest weeds that they deal with is a parasitic weed that will grow up with the sorghum attached to it and basically suck the nutrients out of sorghum. Having this trait, the chemical moves with the plant, the trait protects it, the striga attaches to sorghum and essentially controlled because we have the chemical inside the plant. So it's really a novel way of helping to manage a very unique, complex weed, but yet at the same time look at delivering a sorghum that's higher in nutrition.
Schumacher says this is a game changer.
When you look at some of these very dry climates, I mean, it's just like western Kansas, but maybe five times worse in terms of hot, dry. The only thing they can grow is sorghum, and they really need help. And sorghum is their base food source. So it's a neat project. I know the Gates Foundation was involved, Pioneer was involved, DuPont Crop Protection was involved. We brought our seed coat technology along with it, with the chemistry for the seed treat. So it's been one of these efforts that we kind of call it a nice tag team effort, and it's really coming together very well.
Again, that was DuPont Crop Protection Marketing Manager Wayne Schumacher. Genomic testing is becoming more and more popular in the beef industry. For many in agriculture, the American Angus Association says accuracy and reliability are becoming required tools of the trade. Area farmer T.J. Curtin says the use of DNA technology in the cattle industry is much like the use of seed varieties in row crop operations. He notes seed corn companies offer much more information on each variety today, which improves accuracy. He likens buying a bull to buying a bag of seed corn and says he's willing to use genomic technology to offer higher accuracy. Curtin says farmers take risks all the time, and it's of great value when they can lessen that risk. Curtin has come to realize the value of additional data provided by DNA testing brings to buyers as they decide what animals to purchase. That's why he decided to bring that technology into his own operation. Curtin is just one in a growing number of cattlemen contributing genomic information to the expected progeny differences, or EDPs, produced by the American Angus Association. During the fiscal year 2013, Angus Genetics Inc., or AGI, included high-density genomic results on more than 40,000 in the weekly National Cattle Evaluation, and that upward trend is holding true in 2014 as well. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
This is Wayne Schaefer, your country financial agent in Jerseyville. Farming is more than an occupation. It's a way of life. So when you want to protect your farm, it goes a lot deeper than protecting your crops, buildings, and machinery. You can't trust your farm protection to just anyone. You want an insurance company with decades of farm experience, like Country Financial. We have insured your parents' farm, even your grandparents' farm. So let us put 80 years of experience to work for you. Find out more about farm insurance from me, your country agent in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
What are people saying about Illinois Farm Bureau? Jim and Mary Lawner, Macoupin County farmers and Farm Bureau members, have plenty to say.
We like the idea of the organization starting from the local membership. You can voice your concerns and issues and know that your viewpoint will be listened to. That idea can go from a local policy to the state and national levels. We know that our viewpoint actually counts.
The value? Viewpoint. Our members' voice for agriculture. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau and ask about other Farm Bureau values. Illinois Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
As it starts warming up and signs of spring begin to show, farmers are eagerly looking towards their wheat fields to see if their crop took a hit due to the rough winter. Global supplies of wheat could get short this year, especially if the situation in Ukraine worsens. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions for an overview of the situation.
Well, as we look at the winter wheat crop breaking dormancy, we won't receive any updates from USDA on the winter wheat crop as a whole until we get to the first week of April. But some individual states, key production states, have started providing updates on the conditions of their crops, and more specifically, the concerns are on the Plains hard red winter wheat crop, where drought has been a problem, as well as winter kill has been a more significant problem. We saw ratings in Oklahoma and Kansas, for example, slashed in early February when they issued their monthly reports. Those states just updated their monthly winter condition scores and showed some modest additional declines. So during the month of January, we saw significant declines in winter wheat ratings in those key production states of Kansas and Oklahoma, with additional modest declines in the month of February. We also saw some additional declines in Texas and in Nebraska. So that should continue to provide some underpinning support for winter wheat prices as a whole as we go into the spring, particularly with the threat of potentially losing wheat supplies out of the Black Sea region due to political turmoil there. It makes it all the more important that we have a good crop here in the United States.
Now, what does the global shortage look like for wheat?
Well, for wheat as a whole, wheat supplies are about a 20 to 21-day supply above the levels seen in 2007-2008 that gave us record-high prices. So we do have ample supplies if there's no legitimate threat to the supplies that are out there now or the crop that is growing in the ground in the northern hemisphere. However, it does leave us vulnerable if we were to lose those Black Sea supplies or if we were to have a major production problem in one of the significant growing areas of the United States. So the funds have been focused on the fact that supplies are adequate. If a problem emerges that I mentioned, then suddenly they'd have to exit their short or sold positions and we'd have to start building some risk premium back into the market again.
All right. Well, I'm sure wheat growers are eagerly looking forward to spring so they can better evaluate their crop.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it'll probably be a very late spring for the Midwest soft red winter wheat crop with a very cool warm-up. That doesn't favor high yields. High yields tend to come from a long grain fill period, which tends to be an early break of spring and a late start to summer. This time it looks like we're going to have a very late start to the spring, shortening that grain fill period. So that's going to put even more pressure on the plains, which will probably warm up a little bit quicker and has already seen some temperatures in the 60s and 70s start to bring the crop out of dormancy. It's going to put a little bit more pressure on that region to produce a big crop.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.